Live from Burbank, California, where I just signed a year's lease. What the hell was I thinking? It's the Mark Maron Show. And now, hello, unemployment insurance. Mark Maron.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Good evening, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. Of course, you need machines and pain sponges. And Jim, is that a cry for help at the beginning of the show? Are you all right, man?
Cry for help? You know what?
You signed a year's lease.
Yeah, I did.
What were you going to do anyways? You were heading out here. It was going to happen at some point.
No. I'm just kind of anxious about it.
Sure.
It's more space for the same price. So that's something positive, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, did you go? You went and got that new place?
Yeah.
You changed. How did you do that? Because you just moved into one place and you just go over to the new place?
It was a month to month lease, you know?
Oh, okay.
How that works.
Now, what does Heather do? Does she go? Yeah.
She's got a kind of a grunt work job for a production place right now. And so she's going to be gone like 10 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means? Come on over to my place. Boy party.
Let's hang out, man.
Yeah.
It's sad time.
Sad time.
Let's go, man. Whip out the beers. Let's have a bitter fest.
I don't know, man. I don't want her to come home and find one of us hanging.
That'd be hilarious if it were you. Not me, because I'm not
then,
gonna...
then you'd have to go, I don't know what happened.
I was just hanging out with him, and he said I got to go to the bathroom. I had no idea it was this bad.
So, that would be funny if I did hang myself in the bathroom.
Yeah, it would be hilarious.
With you there.
It'd be hilarious.
And I had a note that said, Marin, and then, dash, and then nothing else.
Right, don't believe whatever Mark says happened here. Yeah. Well, that's a good optimistic, upbeat way to open the show. Why don't we go ahead and talk about that factoid that you had? Because we might as well follow it right up and get it out of the way before we celebrate the fact that Tom DeLay has to remain on the ballot because a judge said so. And then there's some other bad news that apparently Ken Lay's family might not have to go bankrupt. And I think they should. I think it's the right thing to do. I think they should give up everything they have.
Absolutely.
And walk around wearing barrels.
I think he killed himself.
I'm starting to think that, or else he's not dead. That's the only thing. Like, when you see information like this, that his death puts into question whether or not they can actually convict him, because apparently when a defendant who pleads not guilty dies before sentencing, in most cases, the conviction is wiped out on the grounds that the defendant did not have the opportunity to appeal. So that means there is an outside chance that they might just throw this whole thing out because he's dead, which can only lead to one thing. Either he killed himself and he told his wife he was going to do it, or he's still alive. I mean, this guy's had enough friends, enough money in high places to disappear. Maybe he's hanging out with Idi Amin and Elvis right now. Who the hell knows?
Or he's hanging out at Osama's place.
Osama's place, that's a bar where they're setting that new comedy. Did you hear about that?
No,
I didn't. It's not nominated for an Emmy, but Osama's place is going to be, I think it's going to be a hit, because it's one of those sitcoms that can travel. It's sort of like, where's Osama? And it's like, he owns a bar in a cave in Afghanistan.
Kooky neighbor?
Yeah, of course there's a kooky neighbor. Well, Al Zarwiri is the kooky neighbor. He's like, hello, Osama, can I have a beer? And he throws it on, and it's like, the canned laughter. But it's interesting because a lot of the regulars are, CIA agents, opium dealers, past presidents, friends of the Bush administration, that they're going to go under different names. It's going to be hilarious. Hilarious! What, speechless?
I am, That sounds like a good idea. I wish I'd pitch that.
Well, here we go with this thing, is that the good thing is that the death of Ken Lay will have little effect on the civil fraud lawsuit that's being brought by the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is for billions, millions, multi-millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to benefit the people. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Compensation from large banks and investment firms that remain defendants for some of the people that got bilked out of their dough. But I still think that the only reasonable thing to do is take all of Kenway's family's money so his kids and his wife are broke, and then they have to stand in a receiving line wearing barrels, like in the old days, the Depression times, where they wear a barrel. You know what I'm talking about in the cartoons? They should wear barrels and meet all the people that lost their savings because of this company. How's that?
I like that image, but, you know, I don't think that ever really happened. I don't think people ever walked around in barrels during
You're going to call me on my... okay, that's fine, Jim.
In our last 7 days here, I'm going to call you on that.
On everything. Everything. It's only going to get worse. I know as we progress, I'm going to pay in some horrendous way for being for the opportunity that I gave you and for being a difficult boss because of my temper problem on occasion. I know I'm going to pay, Jim.
Well, this guy, I didn't say anything.
I'm projecting a personality onto you right now. I'm reading your mind. So, okay, let's hear the good news about the oceans.
Oh, it's just, you know, it's the pH balance is so off that by the end of the century, there won't be any coral reefs left. That's the horrible news.
No coral reefs? That means that snorkeling's not going to be any fun at all.
No.
For anybody.
Nor living.
There used to be a coral reef. Now it's just this gross branchy thing.
You can't... Everything's going to die in the oceans. The oceans are our lifeblood. They're our arteries, Mark. Arteries.
Yeah.
And, you know, you poison our arteries.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, I'm going to hang myself in the bathroom.
Good stuff, man. Hey, but on the other note, this. Don't hang yourself over the oceans, man. Yeah, don't hang yourself over that, okay? No. That's uncalled for. Don't hang yourself over the world's problems. Hang yourself over your own problems, all right? Don't put that on the world. If you're going to kill yourself, make it for personal reasons.
Okay.
All right? You know, hang in there as long as you can. I get suicidal thoughts sometimes, too, and I've discussed this before. I don't know if I've discussed it with you, but it's not really because I want to kill myself. I just find it relaxing. You know, to know that I can if I have to.
Can I ask a short question on that?
Yes, sir, with the hand raised, Jim.
Yeah. When you're having these fantasies, does it ever involve taking out other people?
Never. Do you do that?
I can't think of any other reason to do it.
I've never had those fantasies. I had fantasies like that, but only around kicking my dad's ass. I never really thought about killing other people, but I did for a long time actively fantasize about kicking my dad's ass. And now it seems like time is doing it for me. If you wait, you know, there is a
Happy
prize.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, time is kicking my... Look, this is I'm much too giddy for the situation that we're all in. You know why? Because I'm driving, you know, I like California. I like living in Southern California. I like driving my car. I like listening to music driving my car. Because I'm driving my car, I'm singing out loud to some Velvet Underground and some Beatles. I realize you can't put Beatles on a mixtape because it's just going to dwarf everything on there. You can't, if you're going to do it, it needs to be towards the end. Like I'm on my iPod now, like I put the Beatles on, then anything after that, it's like, it's not the Beatles. So you got to put them towards the end. But I listen to a part of Abbey Road, then Velvet Underground. I'm singing a song because I can, you know, as sad as I am on some levels about the situation that's going on, about our show being canceled and about the possibility of me not being aligned or affiliated with Air America anymore, that is sad. I think that you and I may end up on radio in some other capacity, on some other station or whatever. But that's in the future and it's not necessarily planned. But the thought of being unemployed on some level or being free of this particular employment is liberating. There is a feeling of liberation when you accept the situation that's upon you and you realize that it is a chance for growth and new opportunity.
Just the four levels of death, right?
I'm bringing you up. I'm lifting you up, Jim. I'm saying there's hope, man.
I'm the four levels of hope.
Yeah, the four levels of hope. That's it, man. Yeah. That's it. Okay, good. So here's a little. There's a couple of things that make me sort of happy in the news, and I'm not going to go into them in depth because I'm sure if you've been listening to the network all day, you've got enough of it. But I don't anymore. I don't listen all day because I need to have my own thoughts and my own experiences. By the way, before I get into that, MJK.
Oh yeah.
Huh?
I sent him a thank you email earlier.
One of our regular guys, by the way, you want to know who's on the show? Is that what you're telling me? Sleepy Bill Kolar holding up a piece of paper in the behind the glass, holding it up like, dude, don't forget to tell him who's on. Because you got a whole show to go and no one knows who's on. They're going to turn it off if you don't tell them who's on. Nick Hexum from the band 311. Man, they got a lot of records out. A lot of albums. What do you call them now? CDs? What am I, 90? Albums.
Discs.
Discs. Albums. He's going albums. He said albums. He's going to be on. He's going to talk about the band. We're going to play some of the band's music, and then he's going to tell us how he's activating and opening minds, man. He started his own website. what is it, Hexham Liberal, liberalhexham.com? Yeah? Org.org. Liberalhexham.org, where you can go. Because out of something blew his mind, then he decided he's going to share it. And you're going to like this guy. He's right up your alley.
Oh, great.
But he apparently has got an optimistic disposition about changing the environment as opposed to this nihilistic dangling from a rope in your bathroom crap.
Well, I think that's pretty optimistic.
At least you're done with it.
There's a resolution.
It's closure.
Yeah.
Doug Schoen is on. A lot of Doug Schoen fans out there. Huh? I can hear people clapping. Doug Schoen.
Yay.
Doug Schoen is a pollster, and he's going to...
What? Upholstery?
No, he's a pollster, and he's going to tell us how the American dream is dying. So this is going to be good. This is going to be good for you.
Oh, man, really?
It's over, dude. Carlos Alzraki, a friend of ours from San Francisco. What, now I don't even have time to do the two things I'm excited about? Man, that's unbelievable.
We can get to it later.
All right, we'll get to it later. Carlos Alzraki from he's Officer James Garcia on Reno 911, 911-311 on the same show. What the hell, dude? Today might be the end. Hey, Carlos Alzraki, also, well-known trivia, beat me in the finals of the San Francisco Comedy Competition in 1993.
Oh, man.
It was my night, man!
He's also the Chihuahua.
He did so well for himself. Look at us on our way out. We'll be back in a second.
And now he calls Hillary Swank his third ex-wife, Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. 61% of Americans say they are not living the American dream. And that means that, 39% maybe, but maybe not. Douglas Schoen has been a pollster for more than 30 years, has worked for former President Bill Clinton, New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg, Indiana Senator Evan Bayh, and New Jersey Governor John Corzine. He conducted a recent poll on the American dream, or if you want to be clinical about it, the shrinking of the middle class, thanks to Bush policies. That's a little spin on it. Douglas is up in Aspen with the Aspen Institute's yearly meeting of ideas. Maybe you'll tell us what that is. Welcome to the show, Douglas Schoen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, this Aspen Institute yearly meeting up there, the meeting of ideas or what, the Ideas Festival. Now, this is this basically the Democrats' answer to the Bohemian Grove?
I don't really think that's it. It's actually a bipartisan group, though I would say it's certainly fair to say that it's heavily weighted towards Democrats. But I think it is more a philosophical investigation of sort of some of the problems facing our democracy. And as the poll points out, we've got some pretty serious issues to contend with.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. I'm glad that you guys are up there. And there's a hell of a roster up there. You got Madeleine Albright. You got Bruce Babbitt. You got Lawrence Bender, the film producer, who's a guest on my show occasionally. A lot of very smart people going down the list. There's like a lot of people up there. Must be a real party on some level.
Well, it's a good time. It's certainly enormously stimulating intellectually, and I think there was widespread consensus that what the survey showed about the system being pretty much broken reflects the perceptions of many of the participants.
All right, let's talk about that. 75% say the American dream is somewhat broken, with just 1 in 4 saying it is alive and well today. Now, one thing I noticed about these numbers, Douglas Schoen, is that there is a sort of blind optimism that I think needs to be taken out back and shot. That, you know, in order for people to wake up, certainly politically, we've got to get rid of some of this optimism, don't we?
I think that's what's happening. I think people have this abstract optimism that this is the land of opportunity. And then they face the reality of their lives, and they see that they can't afford health care, they can't afford to educate their kids, they don't think they're going to have pensions, and they're sitting there saying, this American dream that I've been brought up to believe in doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, well, but there's a couple of interesting statistics here. Like 74% say the government should pursue policies that grow the economy, compared with just 26% who say the government should pursue policies that redistribute wealth from the richest to the middle class and the poorest. So that means that there's still a very small group that thinks that why do you think that those kind of ideas, which I'm seeing as supporting social programs, are still sort of abstract and wrong to a lot of Americans?
Because I think most Americans believe, rightly or wrongly, that if the economy grows, they'll benefit, and that somehow redistributive policies are going to take from them and give to somebody else.
So they still think they got a shot at the big bucks.
They really do. It's like, why is there support for repealing the inheritance tax when 95 to 97% of the American people will never even get close to paying any?
So that is really the myth that is still intact, and one of the reasons why it's very difficult to facilitate change because in terms of government, because you got in the next statistic, 63% believe government has a constructive role to play in supporting institutes like church, marriage, and family. These are the confines that protect them from their fear of economic insecurity and the fact that they live in a stable country. So it makes me a little sad that it's not breaking through more of the economic realities that most people are facing.
Well, you know, I think that that's right, and I think you're right to be sad about it, because it's not like there's high unemployment like the Depression. In fact, the unemployment's very low, but the quality of jobs people have are not enough to support the lifestyles they'd like to have. You have two wage earners frequently being able to support what one wage earner could do before, and there's this fear of outsourcing that somehow your job's going to disappear to India or China. So it's a very uneasy electorate, but hasn't achieved the political consciousness you'd want them to achieve.
Yeah, and this one also frightens me. These two, the one, the 63% believe government has a constructive role in church, marriage, and family, and this one, 49% agree that if you work hard and play by the rules, you can lead a solid middle-class life. 51% of Americans disagree with that statement, but that really sort of reflects the split in the nation on electoral level, too, doesn't it?
It reflects the split on an electoral level. Also, it's a significant decline from what people felt they could do 25 years ago. 25 years ago, they report that 90% said that they could live the American dream. So you've got a significant decline in people buying into the dream and no real clear sense as to what needs to be done to give people hope and opportunity again. So I think we have a confused, concerned, and ultimately very, very distracted electorate.
Yeah, and also I think that somehow or another, if and I don't know if you're talking about this up there at the Institute, that some of this has to do with raising awareness of Republican policy changes that are really going to affect this poll even more in 5 years when people can't declare bankruptcy, when lawsuits have caps on them and corporations are no longer punished for the injustices they place on people. I think all that stuff that this administration has done is still hasn't been seen the results of it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that what we're seeing in the data is people's fear that the worst impact of the Bush administration is yet to be felt, and the uncertainty and insecurity they're feeling, I think, could well translate into great, great, great frustration as time goes on.
All right, well, we'll check back in with you when you do that poll in about 10 years. Thank you, Douglas Schoen.
Thank you so very much.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we'll be back with Nick Hexum. Stay with us.
And now there's still hope for his brain to rewire itself. Mark Maron.
After the injury, that's true. There is hope.
The injury.
Yeah, there's some indication that you can only keep your mind on one or two colors at once if there's something going on.
Good. It's too confusing otherwise.
Yeah. But that's, maybe good in sports, but it's also the root of racism. The band 311 has released 8 studio albums, 1 live album, 3 DVDs. They are a huge cottage industry almost in themselves. And they've won some awards and things, and 9 million sold almost, right? And I'm not mocking them in any way, because look at me, I'm on a radio show that's about to be canceled. Their new album, Don't Tread on Me, is out now. The lead singer, guitarist of the band, Nick Hexum, is a concerned citizen whose awareness has been raised around many of the political and environmental issues that face us today. We're going to talk to him about that. So much, in fact, my friends, that he put together a website to provide information and raise money. It's for people. It's called liberalhexum.org. He's here with us in studio. Welcome to the show, Nick Hexum.
Thank you. And it's actually a nonprofit, registered 501c, so
hence the .org.
Yes, contributions are tax deductible.
Oh, good.
We're registered and all that.
Well, before we get into the birth of that, let's talk about the music and your last name, Hexum. What kind of name is that?
Norwegian.
Okay. And you come from the Midwest, as do many of your bandmates.
Indeed. Yes, we're all from Omaha.
Really? All of you?
Yeah.
Wow. And that's Norwegians came, there was some sort of Scandinavian migration at some point, right?
Born in Wisconsin. There's tons of Norskies and Swedes up there, so I'm...
Are you hip to the history of that? Because from what I understand, they were invited there at some point in history because they were the only ones that knew how to tend to actually grow wheat.
Cold, yeah.
Yeah, in the cold, yeah.
Homesteading, free land.
Yeah, if you can make good at it. Yeah. If you can make this land work, you're in.
That's where my family's from that.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah, and my grandma would tell stories of when she'd go fishing and she'd need bait. After they'd catch one fish, she'd take the live fish and bite the head off the fish and use that as bait to catch some more fish. I mean, she...
And then she'd say, come here, give Grandma a kiss.
She was like 6'1", just Norwegian.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
That's wild.
She mowed her lawn until she was 92 years old, just passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's a great story. I come from Jewish mutts, and it's just a heart
disease.
We
don't mow lawns.
We don't mow lawns. We don't live to 92.
We have apartments.
That's right. I listened to this record, and I've heard some of your other stuff over time. Your music is not innately political. You don't do political music, do you? I mean, wouldn't call it that.
Our music is definitely trying to unify people and bring people together, and I make a definite concerted effort to keep my raving liberal views separate from 311, because we do have tons of Red Stater fans, and there are a couple songs that address the political situation on our recent album, because it was made during the Iraq. Well,
sure,
yeah, it had to be
the Iraq. I've been told that I have to refer to
debacle.
It as an occupation now. I got a very angry letter.
How could you not? What is?
Well, you know, it's easy just because in parlance you're like the Iraq War. You know, just that's what you know. The war. It's on TV. The war. It's the Iraq War. But that is a frame that really sends this one person up a tree. And I don't know if it's a he. He has sent me many emails saying, "Stop calling it the Iraq War. It's an occupation. Call it the Iraq occupation."
Well, it's like they wanted to call the Vietnam War police action. It's just.
We could call it the Iraq mistake.
What do the Republicans call it? They call it, security measures to ensure democracy, but it is total BS.
Yeah, you got to parse this language to get to the core of it. Now, in terms of the unifying effect of your music, is that why you draw heavily from reggae? Was that the inspiration? Because I think reggae is sort of one of those musics. It's sort of like, yay, we're all doing this. Because I notice it's in there.
Yeah, reggae has become a bigger ingredient in our music lately. We were really one of the rap rock pioneers. Mm-hmm. The song Down in 96 was a number one hit, and was that and Give It Away are the first two big rap rock hits.
Right.
But rap has kind of lost my interest, and I move much more towards melodic things.
Oh, that's good.
I'm a better singer than a rapper anyway.
That's good.
So, the way I describe it is that being in Omaha, we're kind of in the middle of everything. We take, punk rock from L.A. and rap from New York and reggae from Jamaica. And it's just sort of like we're right in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
And it's always been a hybrid music.
Right.
And anything we like, we play. There's no rules. And
the great expanse of the plains is in your heart.
Exactly.
So that's how it travels all around the world. Now,
I just went back there, by the way.
Really? I got a buddy from Omaha. I've only driven through there once. I got a ticket, but I remember it was a beautiful state.
I tell you why, because this new hybrid Lexus that I got.
Yeah.
In L.A., they wanted $10,000 over sticker price for this 2007
hybrid Lexus.
GS450H.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But in Omaha, they're not quite hip to the,
I just picture cowboys standing around the car going, "What's it do?
Why do you want to do that?"
Yeah.
So I use that as an excuse to take my girlfriend and go see Dad in Omaha and buy the car and drive across the country. And it was actually quite lovely.
But how much did you get it for? List?
Sticker.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Yeah. See what the snooty people out here do to the competition? it was interesting what you're saying about the Red States and your fans, because I know other bands have had this issue, and the reason why you're not political, I'm not going to, you don't need to get into your bandmates, but on some level, you know, if you're not in a position, if you're not, you know, Pearl Jam or Neil Young or Bruce Springsteen, where people expect it from you, doing political songs, it can be a liability.
Yeah, I mean, I get angry letters, you know, people say you have no business talking about this stuff. So that's why now we have the Liberal Hexam mailing list. So mm-hmm. I'm talking to the people who are interested in interested in global warming and other sort of left
sure.
social issues,
progressive issues.
So I'm not getting in fights all the time, because during the election, my brother and I formed Hexam Brothers Rock for Kerry, and because it couldn't be a 311 thing, because I just 311 can't be a political, you know, entity. It's about bringing everybody together, and of course it was such a divisive election. So my brother and I, who's Zach Hexam, he's an incredibly talented singer-songwriter, 8 years younger than me. We formed a band and went out and did a month in the swing states, Ohio, and mm-hmm. so forth. And, you know, so I made a lot of people mad, but,
isn't that interesting? You know, it's really bizarre to me that where people get off saying you have no right to chime in. Every citizen has a right, certainly people with a platform. And also, I guess you're being respectful of your bandmates, because you kind of give them an out too. Now they can go, I know, hex them. Yeah, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I almost said F, if you can make note of that, please. but that's great that you're able to have this political life outside of the band without doing what they might see or you might see as damage. Now, in terms of these fans, how do you deal with them in person? I mean, how do you? Do people misunderstand you in terms of like are they surprised when they find your politics?
Well, I try and keep the two so separate that I haven't been getting in any debates, and people that come to the website and send mean emails about, you know, you're totally off base and global warming is a big hoax, I just delete it. I'm not going to argue with people.
Right.
Because, you know, I really am a uniter, not a divider.
I can completely understand that, because a lot of times the activity of arguing with those kind of people, with Kool-Aid drinkers, it's just an exercise in futility.
It's fruitless.
Yes.
It's just...
So let's talk about liberalhexam.org and what blew your mind into action.
Well, I had been real concerned about it, just because I'm, you know, really into, I keep up on the news quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a place down in Florida, in the Florida Keys, and I got hit by 4 hurricanes last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, last year was the hottest year and worst hurricane year on record.
Yeah.
And people, you know, I got hurt by Dennis, Katrina, Rita, and Wilma. And people make a huge deal about Katrina because of the damage that it caused. But Wilma was actually, by certain measurements, the strongest, certain barometric and wind speed, the strongest one ever recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that happened at the very end, and then they ran out of letters and had to go into the Greek alphabet because and that's never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're facing a situation where the Gulf of Mexico, which is the warm waters,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in liberalhexam.org is for people that really don't understand, you know, it's kind of 101 on global warming.
Well, we'll go over exactly what's on the site in the next segment. But,
okay.
You know, basically, go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, but it's very scary that that we've already reached the point we're 4 degrees warmer in the Gulf right now than we were last year,
yeah.
And every geoscientist and meteorologist knows that warm waters in the Gulf is what fuels stronger hurricanes, not more hurricanes, but stronger hurricanes that do more damage. And we've also reached what is normally the high 2 months early.
Wow. Our guest is Nick Hexam. You're right, Jim. Maybe we should just, I'll hang myself in your bathroom with you. No, let's know we're going to fight for change with Nick Hexum.
We're going to win.
We're going to fight for change, man. This is the secret Nick, Hexum, the Mark Maron show. Nick Hexum. He's of the band 311, but this is the activist Nick Hexum. So if you don't tell the the Red State fans of 311 that
they're not listening anyway.
All right, so we'll be back with Nick in a second. Hang out. We'll talk about what's on that website.
And now he's a company man in a company town. Mark Maron.
Thanks. I'm a man without a company soon, though. This is the end of it.
No. You have your own company.
That's right, I do. Fire Truck Productions.
Yeah.
That will soon to be bankrupt.
No. Just sure. On hold.
Oh, can you do that?
Yeah, sure.
I'll just put it on hold.
Diversify. Go into something else, like lumber.
Okay. Lumber. Or the I just read an article about people that find old wood, like at construction sites.
In the Great Lakes.
Well, they find old wood in homes and construction sites, and they recycle it into very expensive furniture. Our guest, God, we are off topic now. Our guest is Nick Hexum, the lead singer of 311, the proprietor, I don't know if you'd call it a proprietor, of a nonprofit website, liberalhexum.org.
Director.
Director. There you go. The director of liberalhexum.org, a nonprofit website that, now let's get into it. People go to the website, which they are right now, and I'm going to, for those of you who are in your car and are having a hard time logging on, tell them what they're going to see and what it is.
Well, basically, it's a 101 on global warming, and it's all backed up by the top geoscientists from MIT, Stanford, and there's basically like I'd say 10 bullet points explaining what causes global warming, what bad things are going to happen from global warming, and what we can do to lessen and reverse the tide of global warming. And the way we started it is that I had people sponsor me, and I ran the LA Marathon, and we raised $16,000, and really proud of that.
Yeah.
And it's been a really cool thing, and we've given a large contribution to pewclimate.org, because they are a like-minded organization that supports getting businesses to be more green, and supports scientists and public awareness, because I can't do it all myself.
And also, there is a way to be green now that is appealing, aesthetically appealing, reasonable, and even hip. There's some cities. What is it, like Portland, that's gone real green, where the mayor's gotten on board in certain businesses. I'll tell you, that guy who owns a pizza restaurant, they only deliver pizza on bikes, and they heat the water for the building with the leftover heat from the pizza oven.
Yes, I saw that on the HBO.
Right, on Laurie Davidson, and I'm like, that's great, because it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's just self-contained, and it's cool.
If I had the money, I would start a limousine service with only hybrids. You know
okay.
what I mean? Yeah, that would be just...
There's so many things, practical things, like even the city of L.A. is going to try to sign on to that Kyoto thing. A lot of cities are doing that because
just
Bush
on their
isn't.
Own.
Yeah, right. It just as a statement, in whether it's practical or not, or whether it really means anything, just that momentum's there on a city level, that the paradigm has to change in order for us to literally survive. Or else we have to somehow, maybe we will evolve like reptile skin or something. Well, I'm on the site now, and here's, you've got a solutions page. What are some of those things? I could read them, but you must know
Well,
them.
Basically, the top scientists say that we need to reduce by 70 to 80%, and a person can instantly do that by switching from an SUV to a hybrid car.
Right away.
I would say that only maybe 5% or less of people are just going to do it out of conscience.
Right.
There needs to be government leadership that
needs to be cool too.
That penalizes the polluters.
Yeah.
And
encourages absolutely.
Through financial incentives.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, the burning of coal for electricity. I did research. I always thought that electricity came from nuclear power plants, so I'm not really adding to global warming. But actually, in LA, we've got one of the dirtiest systems from power that comes from coal.
Yeah.
You know, we get a little bit from hydroelectric and we get a little bit from nuclear, but the majority comes from coal, and it's very
dirty.
Upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit him with the meat, Jim.
Yeah, I had a question. What is there anything on the site concerning how much production of meat and meat eating contributes to CO2? Because two scientists at the University, I think it was Cincinnati, said that quarter of all CO2 production comes from wasteful production of meat.
I'm not familiar with that statistic, so I will not argue.
Don't get mad at him. Lori David got mad at him. You don't have to unplug your cell phones when you go to sleep on your site, do you? Do you have that on there, the unplugging the cell phones?
Unplug the cell phones?
Yeah, to save energy. Do you have that on there?
Uh-uh.
Good, all right. What else you got on there? Don't get freaked out. Jim's a meat guy.
One of my houses has solar
panels. Oh, that's cool.
Panels.
One of them does?
Well, I told you I got a place in Florida, I got a place here.
I'm just busted out.
And now this reminds me of something. My dad pointed out to me in the 80s when Rush Limbaugh was blowing up. He was like, the reason why conservative talk radio is so successful is because it's so full of anger and venom. And and liberal people, well, they're going to be like, well, sure, let them do that. Sure, let the gays get married. And that doesn't make for good listening.
All right, here you go.
And liberals' defense is comedy. That is why Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert and yourself are
nearly unemployed.
are the ones that can balance.
Well, here's how liberal the problem is
the
with
hatred. But we should be the ones that are mad right now.
But here's the weird thing is that this is why there's a problem within the liberal community of being mad. It's like, oh, you got two houses, huh? Why don't you give one to poor people? And then all of a sudden it becomes a different conversation, you know.
Well, no,
I take it easy. Don't worry about it. Now that house is right on the beach, or
it's actually an island.
Really?
You can check it out at melodykey.com. I renamed it. It's a play on word, like minor key, major key, melody key.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's in the keys, and it's a rental business, and it's green. It's uses solar.
No, that's cool.
And when I'm down there, we also have a generator for backup.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a windmill put in, but I have to get a variance on the height restrictions and stuff. But
I love windmills. I love driving out there to the desert and seeing all those windmills. And there's a lot of practical stuff. I think that stuff should all be made affordable if we could just get...
Windmills?
Windmills and solar panels should be made affordable.
Of course, yeah. Well, down in South Texas, there's corporations that are having wind farms that are actually turning profits, and they're not doing it for conscience. And, you know, there's so much to be explored in that area.
Well, I want to thank you for doing what you're doing. And despite the fact that I'm a smartass, I'm very impressed with your effort. And I encourage everyone to go to liberalhexam.org and check it out. And also to buy his CDs, too, because he's doing good things. Why don't you run for office?
And check out how much energy it takes to produce a hamburger.
Yeah, check that out. You should put it up there. You really should.
I don't know about that.
It's obscene.
All right, we got to go. Thanks a lot, Nick Hexam. I appreciate it. Also, before we do this, Jim, you seem a little on edge. What do you got? What's going on? What's the matter?
What's on my wheel of anger?
Let's spin it. Oh, it's... the DMV. We'll have that in a minute. Thanks a lot, Nick.
Okay,
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, you never should have grabbed that boy at the Vegas airport, Mark.
Yeah, I know.
What the hell was that about?
I don't know. It was a mistake. You know, it's
kind of mistakes are, you know, you can't make those.
They're
kind
of career
mistakes.
Killers.
You're telling me?
Yeah. So, look, I didn't get to thank MJK, a regular listener, a regular blogger, sent us a beautiful box of German products.
Oh, man.
I believe
great.
They were German.
Yes, they were.
There was chocolate. There was a polar bear. He bought us each little statuettes, so little polar bears I put on top of my refrigerator. They were beautiful. Polar bear is my favorite animal. And these weird herbal German sodas that I drank one of today. And maybe that's why I'm so chipper, given the situation that we're in.
And some great chocolates and a squirrel.
Yeah, you got a squirrel?
I got a squirrel, yes.
For Nibbles. Remember Nibbles?
Nibbles.
Was that the guy's? That was the squirrel's name.
I think so.
Yeah. But thank you so much. That was just a great exotic care package. Also, people out there, bloggers, fans, want to take action. You're more than welcome to write to whoever you want to at AAR in support. But I don't know if there is some sort of crime going on here. I'm not sure. You know, this show is being stopped, and there's another offer that is being discussed. I don't know if it's going to work for me. But you can be angry about this show being stopped. It would have been nice to have continued on with the syndication. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, there's a crime.
I like the way you went from one end to the other on that. That was brilliant.
Well, I just want that, you know, they want to put a petition together, and I just don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Let's because obviously I'm going to get choked up and angry, and let's do this Wheel of Angry. You got the DMV on board. Let's go. Let's go with it.
Okay, Mark.
Yeah.
You know, when I woke up this morning to find cat vomit on my elbow, I did so with the knowledge that the experience of wiping congealed chicken fat and hairballs off my body could never equal the dread and humiliation of having to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles. Then I remembered last night somebody stole my license plates off my car. I knew then what had to be done. I gathered all my wits, in addition to that mixture of raw chicken, egg yolks, fur, and catnip, put it into a bag along with my registration, driver's license, and number 2 pencil. I knew I'd be waiting for hours at the DMV, Mark, sitting around, miscreants, smelling of bad cologne and cigarette smoke. I went before opening time with my bag of goodies, and just as they opened the doors, I took that bag and...
Oh, God, no.
Yes, Mark. I ate my cat's vomit.
Oh, my God. That's repulsive. How could you do such a thing, let alone write about it, Jim?
Mark, calm down and listen to me.
All right, I'm trying.
Have you ever studied a cat? I mean, really?
Yeah.
Up close? They're continually fascinated by nothing, staring at things that aren't there. Yes, Mark. Hallucinating. I'm convinced the combination of catnip, raw chicken, and whatever the hell else is in their stomachs induces sublime visions. How else was I going to get through the next few hours? Hours of bone-jarring boredom and mutual hatred for humankind? I had no choice. I had to eat my cat's vomit. It was a no-brainer.
All right, okay, look, this is horrible, but I want to know. What happened at the DMV? Did you have any ill side effects?
Mark, you know, I'm a bit ashamed of myself. I was in and out of the DMV in less than 15 minutes, new plates and everything. I was wrong about them, you know? They're much more efficient than they used to be.
But what about the visions? Did you ever feel anything? See anything?
Mark, are you all right? Bill, I think there's something wrong with Mark's mic. Should we stop for a second?
Bill's not here anymore. I hate him, Jim. Woof, woof.
Stop it! Stop it, you two are all... I'll get out the hose again.
Jim, so what happened to the DMV? Did you have any ill side effects or anything?
None whatsoever, Mark.
One last question, Jim. If you wanted to hallucinate like your cat, why didn't you just fix yourself a plate of cat food instead of eating his vomit?
Oh, man, you're right.
When we come back...
You've just taken
a ride on... Hey, what's happening, man? You've just taken a ride on the trip of Mark, dude.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah. You all right?
Yeah, I'm kind of tired.
Wow, that was wild, dude. Man, I tell you, man, you know, this is the second time that we've been on the cutting block, and the last week has provoked some of the best stuff, man.
Wow. What happened?
Huh?
What happened? That was weird.
Well, apparently, you know, you were just earled.
I was earled by you?
Yeah.
Jeez, whose hallucination was I in?
This is crazy. Did you, the DMV, though, you had to go, someone stole your place?
My place.
What did they do?
I called Rampart immediately.
Yes.
Rampart, and they said, well, somebody's out with your plates, doing a drive-by.
Is that what they do with them? They just pull. They put them on another car, a stolen car, or what have you?
And then Heather told me, you know what you got to do? You got to take a razor blade to your stickers so they can't peel them off.
I don't understand.
You know those stickers?
Okay. All right.
You can't peel them off.
But... Oh, so you mean take it on the plate you have?
Yeah, because sometimes they just take the stickers, but when they take the whole plate like they did mine, you know, then they can commit crimes of all sorts.
So, look, a couple of things. But you've reported it.
I reported it. I went down the Rampart.
There's a couple of little victories here I just wanted to talk about. Before this is a great thing. You don't get to feel satisfaction as a Democrat that often, but I think we're going to be feeling more. But they had to keep the Democrats, Texas Democrats, basically argued. Tom DeLay wanted to get his name taken off the ballot in Texas by moving to a home in Alexandria, Virginia, even though he's got a house in his district. And he wanted to be taken off the ballot because he's a criminal. And he had to resign as the Speaker of the House. He's a criminal. He's an indicted criminal. And he wanted to be taken off the ballot so the Republicans could put somebody on there. But the Democrats said, you know, he can't be taken off the ballot. It's already established. And he doesn't really live in Virginia. And they went to court with it, the Texas Democrats. And it has been decided by a judge that the criminal, the indicted Tom DeLay, has got to stay on the ballot, which is a beautiful thing, just as a reminder that there's a criminal on the ballot and not another guy. But this is a small victory for Democrats, maybe a big victory for Nick Lampson, the guy who's running against him, who had a very kind of a decent quote. He says, quote, now he's on the ballot, now he's off the ballot. We're just campaigning as if we have an opponent, end quote. All right. It's all right. Let him be cocky right now. I think he might take it. I hope he takes it. And another thing that's going to be taken is Ned Lamont up there in Connecticut. If Joe Lieberman has not shown his colors like he did the other day in terms of trying to avoid the primary. Avoid the primary by going independent. That he's basically saying, like, I got plenty of Republicans that will vote for me. This guy, if anyone had any inkling that he might be a Democrat, has got to let that go, because him circumventing the primary process by going independent to appease Republicans is such a blatant example of why he cannot be part of the Democratic Party. Not that I'm biased or partisan. But and Lampson's got some dough, dude. This guy started a cable TV network. He's worth about $90 million, at least $90 million. He's going to put some real dough into beating Lieberman.
More power to him.
Hey, that's what I say. And the other thing is Ann Coulter, plagiarist. I didn't realize this. This is 2 days old, but apparently somebody, this guy John Barry, the creator of Authenticate program, ran Coulter's stuff through the program, and turns out there's several incidents, not only in her book but in her columns, of blatant plagiarism. So this, you know, unoriginal, you know, reactionary, right-wing reactionary hoe, she's just like two bags of saline hanging on a skeleton. That's what she is, with blonde hair. But it turns out she's a thief. I wonder if that's going to impugn her reputation amongst the idiots that lie along with her. Probably not. But it's nice to know that she is blatantly unoriginal.
Well, if she's a funny thief, maybe she's stealing from funny people or something like that. You know?
No, I think she was stealing from news, actually.
Dane Cook, maybe. Dane Cook
is reputed to be a thief as well. And I was actually at the Improv with Carlos Alzeraqui, and Dane Cook bumped me, and I left. And Carlos had gone on already, the lucky bastard. Because you just never know how long they're going to do when somebody like steamrolls you like that and comes in and uses their carte blanche. And I got too much pride to wait around. But there's been people that have proven with documentation that Dane Cook stole many of Louis C.K.'s jokes.
Really?
Yeah. And the odd thing is that Dane Cook fans, they don't care. The weird thing about people stealing jokes and stuff, it's only important to us. People who like to laugh, they're like, I guess, but, you know, he's still funny.
Do you realize how long it takes to write a good joke?
For me, it evolves over time because I do it all on stage. So, like, I get the first laugh, and then I've got to improvise more on that idea. I wish I could go about it the other way. Carlos Alzeraqui is going to be here. He owes me. That's what I say.
He can bark too,
huh? Yeah, he can. Every time he barked in an accent, he made about $60,000 every time he barked, and he didn't even have to do it over and over again. He was at now he's sitting there going, "What did I get into? I thought we were going to hang out and have a good time." He's a genius, and he's very funny, and he does all kinds of voices, and he's on Reno 911, which is a very successful show. And he beat me in the comedy competition. I'm jealous of him. You know what? Go home, Carlos. No. Oh, yeah, you come in. All right, hang out.
And now part of his skull fell off. Mark Maron.
Oh, that guy was lucky. What the hell was that about? I don't have it in front of me. Here, a couple of things I wanted to say. We had Nick Hexum on there. 311 is going to start their huge tour at the Greek Theater September 8th. Tickets are going to go on sale Saturday at Ticketmaster Outlet. He also told me, go to Global. If you go to globalwarming.org, it gives you all kinds of misinformation. It's a bad site. It's one of their sites. It's bad. What else was I going to say coming back? Oh, yeah, obviously, I just want to say, I am upset about this show ending. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I'm just like, you know, I'm numb to a certain degree, Jim. And you and I are going to go on to big things because we're going to be on the first independent shuttle mission with Virgin Air, with Branson. We're going in the shuttle. Did I tell you that?
Mark, that's you poor sad man.
No, I swear to God, I'm going to space.
So in your imagination.
I'm going to space.
Turn on that music again, will you?
I'm going to space. All right, well, where's my intro for my friend Carlos? Hold on. Stay right there, Carlos. Don't go anywhere. Oh, by the way, I'm going to be...
He's been on things.
I'm going to space in... what's his name? Nick Branson? What's Branson's first name? Sir something? Sir Richard Branson's shuttle. I'm going. I don't care what anyone says.
You get a free DVD and a compact disc, too.
Yeah, and they give...
any Virgin record store.
Yeah, and you go on the shuttle and you get a little cute travel bag. Did they give you, all right, what?
The only shuttle you're going on is to LAX.
I'm not! I'm going to space!
Sorry.
I'm actually going to my high school reunion on Saturday in Albuquerque. Look, I got a guest here. I'm not going to pull it, you know. I'm going to be respectful.
What's sad is that going to know about the ending of your show at your reunion? Hey, sorry about the ending of your show, Mark. What? Yeah. It's been 20 years! That's what you got to say to me!
Carlos Alzaraki is Officer James Garcia, right, on Comedy Central's Reno 911. You may have heard Carlos as Mr. Crocker on Nickelodeon's Fairly Odd Parents.
Yep.
Rocco on Rocco's Modern Life.
Yep.
And Lube and Winslow on Cat and Dog. Cat/Dog.
With Tom Kenny.
Tom Kenny, another San Francisco guy.
Carlos
is also starring in two new cartoons for the Cartoon Network as Monroe, the Scottish pug dog on Juniper Lee. You have a great website. I didn't even have to write any of this. And as Laszlo on Cartoon Network's number one series called Camp Laszlo. You're working... you're amazing. Carlos is also the voice of the Chihuahua on the Yokiro Taco Bell commercials.
Now you see why I won the competition. All those voices, my friend. Who needs good jokes and political commentary and point of view?
It was mine! I was set!
It was fixed!
It was fixed because you lived there longer than me.
I was the safe Latino right around the turn when we started, you know, accepting that, and I plugged right in.
But yeah, I'll be honest with you. I remember the night. It was at the Masonic Hall.
Yeah.
It was this weird, and I was at that time very paranoid and the Illuminati conspiracy, Freemasons, the whole thing. And like when I pulled in to park there, I asked the attendant, hey, tell me about the $1 bill. How clear does it have to be, right? You know, the pyramid, the eye in the pyramid.
Yeah.
And that's how my night started. But then I get in there and I choked. I got to be honest with you. It was, you won it.
I don't know. I thought you and Patton Oswalt were the two best comics.
Yeah, you're right. You kind of got, it was a gift. And
Well, I'm going to call a ball out when a ball's out in tennis. And I'm going to say that you guys were the better comics, but
Oh, it's okay.
It's radio.
We can bleep it.
Yeah,
we're being taped.
No, but whatever.
No, it's cool. But the thing was is that with the competition, you kind of broke the curse because a lot of first place winners went on to what?
Yeah, who won when Robin Williams won something? Lucas.
I don't know. Do you know
Ron
the history
Lucas,
of this?
Yeah.
What happened to that guy? So second place was really the one to have.
Mark Curry had second place? Hanging with Mr. Hooper.
What's going on with that guy?
Well, he had to hang with Mr. Cooper Hooper thing. What's going on with me? I live in North Hollywood. That's not, you know, I'm not hanging out with the Clampets in Beverly Hillbillies
but
or Bel Air.
No, I know.
I'm kicking things. I'm sitting on the couch that Dick Van Dyke tripped over, I think.
That is exactly
very comfortable.
It's that couch. How do you know that? That's weird. That's a trivia. No one's gotten that.
Because I'm channeling the ghost of Maury Amsterdam. There's a voice that's lost. I can't, like, book me at colleges. I do a great Maury Amsterdam.
How about Rochester?
Rochester.
Rochester.
Hey, that guy! I never saw that show with somebody else, did him.
How about Walter Brennan?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Walter Brennan. All the even you can't do it.
Walter Brennan, I love both.
We thought we were going to have to.
How about
pull
Barb
the voices.
Charlotte? Bob Charlotte were bigger. That'd be huge. Yeah. Tiffany Fan, she's so full, huh? Gives about 10 minutes to like Turner straighten her right out. That's a great Bob Sarlat joke.
Oh, this is amazing. You're doing the history of San Francisco comedy.
Yeah.
Let's go all the
Rob
way back.
Rob Schneider. Hey, Mr. Bauman. Rob, this is Mr. Bauman. And, of course, the great Lincoln Earl God radio show. Is Bob there? Bob's not here. This is God. No, I want to talk to Bob. Bye.
Knows it better than I do.
He remembers your bits better than you.
Are you staring at me? No, we're staring at the person behind you. Thank you for calling.
Oh, that's awesome.
Classic.
Man, can you do Joseph Cotton?
I don't know. I don't know who Joseph Cotton.
From Susan Cain.
No, I
can't. Can you do him?
Yeah.
Joseph
Cotton. Charlie never really knew the real meaning of love.
It's impeccable. I
don't do any voice.
Beautiful.
I love this. I feel thoroughly entertained. So did you know what season of 9/11 is this now?
Yeah. Well, I prefer to call it 911 and not name it after disaster.
Oh, 911. Sorry.
Yeah, you dial 911 on the phone. But hey, it doesn't matter. It's whatever. Just watch it.
Yeah.
It How's is 9/11 the third season. Doing? It's doing good. 9/11 is doing good. it's worked well for me, Mark. It's been beautiful. I love it. I've really been able to milk that disaster. Wait, what color is it today? Magenta? Is there a terror alert today?
Yeah, it's always a terror alert.
I've got to know the color before I leave the house. It's doing good. Third season DVD is coming out. Fourth season is coming out on the 9th, this Sunday, if people are listening. Sunday night at 10. I think that's relative to what coast you're on, but it doesn't make a difference.
That's true. It's a very funny show. We're talking to Carlos Alves Rocky. He plays Officer James Garcia on the show.
Yeah.
We're going to continue talking to him because the music, see here, the big band music?
I hear that
the
music bebop. Too. That's like finish your Oscar speech or go to commercial.
Speaking about the Emmys, did you get nominated for anything?
Somebody said that we thought we might have, but not me.
I got the list. I'll look. Let me know. We'll be back in a second with Carlos.
You know, he's just a wander in time, Mark Maron.
We're going to be okay, man. We're going up in the shuttle.
Now, you see, that's Dickie Barrett's music, and Dickie Barrett was taken off 103.1, so it's pretty prophetic that you're playing this song.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Whose music is it?
Dickie Barrett caught from Boston, from the Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
He was, but did he play it on his show?
No, he hated. He never played the Bostons. Rarely, he didn't want to.
He was a Boston, but didn't like to play the Boston.
Didn't want to talk about that stuff. Boston Red Sox. That was it.
That's right. He was on. It wasn't that long that he was on.
No, and he should have been.
Yeah, you liked him.
I liked him. He's super. And I was. Oh, I love the Bostons. So he was awesome.
Is that what? Do you listen to radio? I talk radio a lot.
You know what? I'm a sports geek, so it's mostly talk radio. It's fine. Yeah, I listen to sports talk radio. And occasionally, I listen to AM 1150 here in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
So I've heard your show at night. Phil Hendry, I love. I think he's great.
He's a genius.
I
don't know how the hell he does that. I hear that to watch him do what he does is fascinating.
No, wait a minute, sir. No, I'm talking about Santa Claus needs to have a beard because he's scaring my children. No, sir. No, come on. He just does he's awesome, though.
But he must have two different boxes.
He does.
You know how he does it?
He did it at Aspen Live. I didn't get to see it, but he was like in a box like the Pope so people could see how he did it. Yeah.
Oh man, he got a little right wingy, and I think he's done. I think he's retiring.
Yeah, he did that little short-lived sitcom called Teachers, I think.
Right. What I mean, that was just last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was six episodes.
Man, so what failed TV projects have you been involved with?
Oh god, the Stephanie Miller Show. We were talking about that in 1995.
She wasn't a stand-up, but she had a talk show, right?
No, they shoved her into the old Arsenio Hall stage, and who needs intimacy? Let's make this big and. They had an audience behind her. They shipped in, literally, these people that were drug rehab people. They got paid $5 just to sit there.
Are you serious?
And shut up.
Was she coming from radio, though?
She came from radio. Some guys from Buena Vista Television, Disney, heard her on the radio and thought, this is great. The concept will be that she talks to people on the air all the time. So we'll do a live talk show, and we'll have phones at the tables. And so the audience can phone her, and she'll talk to them on the phone. They had little red phones on every table. It was bad.
What were you doing on it?
I was like irregular. I was one of the sketch guys. And so
was that long ago?
We did some clever stuff, actually. I think we were an inspiration to all the Leno stuff. It was right during the O.J. Simpson thing.
Right.
O.J. White Bronco. And so I played Barry Sheck. I did Not So Braveheart. I did Woody Allen so and Bill Cosby in The Money Train. I thought we did some good stuff there. Jews are not good on trains. really bad.
And you did, that's
funny,
man.
We did all kinds of sketch
And that was
stuff.
Right, that, see what you got from the competition? That was right after it.
That was like 2 years after. But you know what? I was the proverbial flavor of the month. Literally, 30 days is how long that lasted. The morning
competition
after the competition,
buzz?
I got like 72 phone calls.
Right.
And all these managers, and blah, blah, blah. And I met with them and wine and dine. And then I got the suits, William Morris, and blah, blah, blah. They all took me out. They showcased
yeah.
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, showcase.
Yeah.
Like, you're, like you're, what's the guy on Bugs Bunny? No, the guy in the Rudolph special. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
30 days scooped in a dumpster with a cat, you know, competing for food.
What was the closer? If a Scottish Satan? What was it? What was
that
the
my
devil?
Closer?
I don't remember. What was that bit? I remember that was
the
really
bit
fun.
Was about English people always play evil characters on television. Yeah. I am Lucifer. I speak the king's English.
Yeah.
It's never a Scottish guy. Hey, I'm the devil. You know who liked that bit? Bill Hicks loved that bit. And
did he?
Mark Maron and Bill Hicks, two of the darkest, brightest, most brilliant comics, can like that bit.
Man.
Then I can die.
You're so nice.
And that wasn't a stolen bit. I wrote
yeah,
that.
And
well, actually, it was kind of borrowed from a concept that Don McMillan had, which was
Don
Scottish
McMillan.
People can never give bad news.
Yeah.
They always say, oh, your whole family's been killed.
Yeah, right.
But see, I took it a notch up.
You did, man. You animated it. You gave
did.
It character.
I
you gave
it life.
Life. You gave it mythic.
I called him Dirty Jimmy.
Dirty Jimmy.
And then I did this movie project that may happen with Mr. Lawrence, who's Plankton on SpongeBob, a very brilliant guy. And we added the fact that this guy is a born-again Christian. The people used to make fun of me, and I said, Dirty Jimmy, you're this, you're that. And I say, screw you, I've got Christ now. A brilliant born-again. And then, you know, Shrek comes out, and everybody thinks I'm stolen from that, and it goes nowhere.
Did you do Shrek, too?
I didn't do Shrek. That was that guy.
That's huge. Those are like...
Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I guess. I like you better, man.
Thank you.
It's nice to see you.
I'm not Canadian.
I forgot that you still had this angry edge to you.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. You should see me at Clippers games. Make your foul shots! Come on! Hi, how you doing?
So, like, just to vindicate me, I did. It was good for me to leave the other night because Dane Cook did like 40 minutes.
He
right?
did do 40 minutes. And like we said, I watched with jaded eye, like most comics do. I wanted to hate the guy because he's so successful. I don't know what bits, who's stealing.
No,
I have no
issue.
Idea about that. Wasn't an issue. I liked him. I thought he was good. I thought he had some really brilliant stuff about people
brilliant?
Committing. I thought brilliant in its depiction of how he
right.
brought it to life.
Okay.
About various ways that people commit suicide and how friends call you to tell you to watch it. Man, you got to see this tape where this guy blew his head off. Or you got to see this tape where this lady lowered herself in acid. And I thought, he's taking some chances.
But you know what? That sounds like Patton Oswalt stuff. From maybe like 9 years ago.
I said, I don't know.
You know, that's the weird thing. Because like, you remember when those tapes were going? We don't need to do that.
We don't need to do that. I liked him.
But
I liked him.
Here's the deal. The thing about him is it's the same reason why people like Tom Cruise. His ability to focus and the juice he brings to the event.
I got it. When I saw him, I go, you know what? I get it. The guy's got it. He's got that aura, whatever.
Juice.
He's got the juice. He performs his... He had a little Brian Regan to him. Of course, I do, too, because I love Brian Regan.
Yeah.
Cleanest comic in the world, and I think funny.
He's really funny.
Great.
The thing I love about Brian Regan is he starts upright, and then through the joke...
It's over!
Yeah, he starts to move down to he's almost crouching, and then it's almost like he re-cocks and gets back up again.
Gonna do another Dennis Miller show! Dennis likes me!
Yeah, yeah.
Not Dennis Regan! That's my brother! Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen him in a while. Where's he been?
Yeah, all over. You go to his website, he goes all over. And speaking of, I got a little MySpace thing that I started, so write me so I don't feel like a loser.
All right, Carlos, you can write me too, but for something wrong with mine, I can't email out of mine. I gotta
fix that.
But you got CarlosAlzeRocky.com.
Yes.
And you're on MySpace.
I am. And I was sad that I didn't get to see you perform, because I haven't seen you perform in a long time.
I wanted to, and I was looking forward to performing for you, man, because I knew you were hanging out.
But I just
can't do that. My pride wouldn't allow me. Like, if Seinfeld came in, or if Robin came in, if somebody like that came in, even if I don't respect them, that's not the issue. But, you know, he comes in, it's just sort of like, he's not going to have any respect for me. He's going to do 45 minutes, and, you know, it even pissed me off when Chappelle did it. Mencia did it a couple weeks ago, and I walked, because it was a weekend night. My name was on the marquee, and he came in and did an hour. And it's just like, look, on weekends, you shouldn't allow that. But I knew it was a weeknight, and I wasn't getting paid, so I wasn't going to hang out and watch 45 minutes of that and go clean up his mess. I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, there's got to be a thing the other way where the other comic realizes that, like comic to comic, like, hey, I know I'm bumping you, so I'm just going to do 10.
Well,
I'll wait till the end of the show.
But I think that's true.
If I ever got that big, I'd do that.
Yeah, I think I generally... I think early's 20. You just do a regular spot, but I knew that wasn't going to be the case.
It wasn't going to be the case.
But why are we talking about him? Let's talk about you.
And serious issues.
Yeah, big issues, man.
Big issues. I was telling you the other night that I feel apolitical now because I was like one of seven people to go see Going Up River before the election, John Kerry's documentary.
Yeah.
And then I saw Why We Fight twice, which was Eisenhower's foreboding message about the military-industrial. Did you see these
industrial
films?
Complex. Yeah. I was forced to see them.
And I went on my own volition, and I just, after seeing these movies like that, I went, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
They are able to insulate truth with such horse crap and distract people from knowing even things about fundamental like legislation and stuff. Most people have no idea.
Yeah. How influential even the Christian right can be. What's going wrong?
Oh, my God.
The Supreme Court that Bush got elected is even going, hey, buddy, you know. Slow down here. You're not. All hail King Bush.
Yeah. Take it easy. We're not making uniforms for everybody yet.
You know, I want to talk about the issues, but I've turned it off. I just want to be good in my community, I guess.
Well, that's good. You know, a lot of people choose that. Like, we had that guy, Nick Hexum, was just on here from the band 311.
Great band.
You like him?
I like him. I love. Yes. I
yeah.
love him.
Well, he keeps his politics separate. He's active publicly, but he doesn't bring the band into it. So there is a stigma to being overtly political in one direction or the other in terms of being an entertainer sometimes.
Sure. There was a time where it made money to be political, obviously, during the Woodstock years and stuff
Well, that was because all of it was left-wing stuff and half of it was built around First Amendment stuff. And it was all sex and saying, you know,
I always thought that being an artist was synonymous with being liberal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you took away, I always felt like saying that. I was like, all these people that save blue collar television, like, you say you don't like this, you say you don't like liberals, like, then you shouldn't listen to the Beatles, you shouldn't watch this television show because all those liberals you hate, those are the ones that are making the movies, man, and making all the art. But
I found really. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was in my more reactionary days, and. But I don't know.
But I think you're right, and I think a lot of people tend to politicize certain artists who aren't necessarily, you know, representing politics. Like Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, Bill Engvall.
Yeah, what do they call themselves?
The Blue Collar Comedy Tour?
Those guys are not political.
No.
And it's not like they're geniuses, but they're really just comedians that are representing a way of life that most people associate with red states. But they're not political guys.
No. No.
And the only guy I've seen be overtly political outside in terms of right wing, Bill Maher is a libertarian.
Yeah.
And he's old school. When he does politics, he's sort of a cad. He fights for sex and he fights for rights. But he's, you know, ultimately liberal because of his position on certain things. But Dennis Miller in that last special, that he was hitting Republican talking points and it was heinous. He was like, you know, I'll make fun of politicians if they're Howard Dean, Hillary Clinton, and Bill Clinton. Yeah, I'll make fun of the science around global warming. Why would you even choose to do that?
To be different. There's a market for it.
Is there?
Sure. Yeah, I think he was plateauing at a certain point. He was obviously always a brilliant writer and thought,
Interesting. You think it was a business decision?
Someone else did. Boardroom.
Yeah.
Listen, Miller, I think you should go Republican.
Really?
Brilliant. Meeting adjourned.
You know? See, I thought he really felt that way.
I don't know. I guess they're from Minnesota, right? The Midwest, maybe.
Aren't they from? I thought they were from Pittsburgh.
His brother, Rich Miller, was always booking the club out in Minnesota. So I don't know. Maybe it is earnest. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like I've been. I'll tell you one thing. Sometimes it's weird because it becomes a stigma. I mean, if someone brings me up from Air America, I know there's a third of the audience are like, nah, he's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll be fair. I know there are places like Texas and Indianapolis, and I'll try to make fun of both sides, or at least see what I perceive to be the truth, because we don't like the Republican administration, but yet the Democrats were spineless. It's like, how did 85 whatever senators or whatever vote for the war? Because you didn't want to lose your district or something?
They didn't want to lose their seats?
That's
right. They're still like that. They don't want to lose their seats. They want to lose their constituents. They didn't want to make the wrong call, and there's only one guy, Russ Feingold.
Yeah.
from Wisconsin who's going to stand up and have a spine. He represents a spine.
Yeah, strikeout swinging.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is part of the reason that we did lose in the debates of 2000 and maybe 2004 with Gore rolling his eyes and not going at it and John Kerry just being, I always sort of liken him to an animatronic guy. I'm John Kerry and I have a plan, which doesn't work on radio. But
like the Disneyland guy?
Yeah, he should have wore the hump that Bush had. I think he had the electronics going. But yeah, so that was, I try to steer down the middle, I guess, because you got to do shows all over the country, and if you have an opinion, try to float the other side. But I don't know what we got us down that hallway. But.
So it's not a bland hallway. You're talking about how you feel, and you're making good sense, my friend.
Thank you. Good
it
sense.
It doesn't all have to be funny. Isn't it funny when you're a comic and all of a sudden you find, like, I've just spent 4 minutes, I haven't said one funny thing, and now I'm done with it, and now I hope Mark saves me.
Yeah. Wait, let me do a cat noise.
Oh, I wish you were here during the hallucinatory thing.
Because you know how it is. Nice. We've done radio.
Yeah.
We had to do stand-up.
Oh, don't you hate that when you walk in, you're like, oh, you got 5 minutes, you got one segment. All right, yeah. So I'll just go right into my closer. And then you're like, it's so weird, but when you hit it on radio, on the road, you bring people come, man.
People do come.
It's weird because if you're on and they give you the moment, that people show up, and then when you do the bit, they're like, we heard that all on the radio.
Yeah. So I thought I was going to be better. No, it's the same bit. I did it word for I was no you fool.
Yeah, so are you shooting now? Are you done? What's going on?
We're done. Reno wrapped last June. We did two seasons back to back because Ben and Tom are busy on other projects.
Yeah.
So we wrapped 4 seasons last June. We wrapped a movie. I like wrapped Hollywood Duck.
Good.
We finished our film February 27th. It should come out in January in theaters. The Reno 911 Miami Fish Out of Water.
Awesome.
Obviously.
Well, thanks for being here, Carlos.
Thank
Alzeraki.
You for having me.
You can go to CarlosAlzeraki.com. There's a link to it on my site because you spell it A-L-A-Z-R-A-Q-U-I.
Yeah.
It's complicated. So you go into it from my site. And then what? Yeah. MySpace too?
MySpace too, yeah.
All right. You're rolling. You're cottage industry. We'll be back with... with crying. Are we going to cry today or you want to wait a couple days, Jim? When do you want to cry?
I don't cry.
Really?
I
do.
I'm a wall.
Okay. He's a rock. He's an island. We'll be back.
Hey, he's number 7 on the list of 10 causes of obesity, Mark Maron.
Tears of a clown, man.
Tears of a clown. Yeah, I like the English beat version of it. Just like Pagliacci.
Yeah, I like my new iPod. And I fought it for so long. I got a new one. I got the one that holds everything ever.
With videos on it and stuff?
It does. Well, that's just what they offer now. That's their big iPod, has the video capability, yeah. Hey, folks, look, Democracy Fest next weekend, the weekend of the 14th and 15th at the San Diego State University campus is going to be fun. You can go to Progressive Talk, KTLKAM1150.com or some combination thereof. What is it? Progressive Talk, AM1150.com. There's a special price for you guys up until next Friday. And actually up until this Friday, I guess till tomorrow at midnight, the special price tickets. It's only an hour and a half or so from here. It's going to be 2 days. It's going to be me and Franken, Howard Dean, Maxine Waters, David Sirota, Robert Waldman's going to be down there. There's going to be seminars, conferences, a concert, food, a big show. Franken's doing his show from down there. I'm doing mine from there Friday night. It's July 14th and 15th it's Democracy Fest from San Diego State
Nothing
University.
Nothing's funner than democracy.
Hopefully it'll be a good turnout, be a good party, and we'll have some good food, and it's going to be our last show, so I'd hate for it to be a dud. Also, Reno 911, why do I keep saying that? Reno 911, new episodes airing all summer, and the complete third season, as Carlos said, is available on DVD. Is that everything? Again, MJK, right? MJK, thank you so much for the box of food. We didn't get to rail on Coulter as much as I would have liked to. Tomorrow on the show, Doug Benson.
from the Marijuana Logs, also a very funny guy, is going into a last minute rally to stay on Last Comic Standing. Greg Graffin from the band Bad Religion will be with us. Tim Grieve from Salon is going to talk to us about politics. Here we go. We don't want you to be caught off guard or uninformed. Here's today's short order news. One of the suicide bombers who struck London's transit system a year ago said in a video broadcast Thursday that the attacks were only the beginning. Though the tape was recorded before last year's London subway attacks, it took this long to surface on Al Jazeera because Islamic terror states have an even longer turnaround time before a pilot makes it to air. You gotta wait a little bit on this. New Jersey's casinos closed for the first time yesterday, the latest victims of a five-day state government shutdown that showed no signs of ending soon. This left gamblers in the uncomfortable position of having to do something productive with their money, like buy food for their children or pay rent. As a temporary fix for concerned gamblers, the state is digging a giant hole for them to throw their money into. Police in Berlin have arrested two men on suspicion of placing cement-filled soccer balls around the city and inviting people to kick them. Police are shocked that someone would so viciously take advantage of the uncontrollable German urge to kick things. That's the short order news. You know who I'm going to see tonight, Jim?
No, I don't.
Chris Lopresto.
Really?
Chris Lopresto.
What's he doing in town?
He was down in San Diego. Him and some buddies rented a beach house down there, so they've just been hanging out doing the beach thing, and I guess they're heading up to the wine country.
Really?
And they're stopping here. He's like, yo, Marin! He's like, I just want to get as many things done as possible. They're going to see Superman at Grauman's Chinese, and then they're going to give me a call. Hang out. People who have listened to me for years know Chris Lopresto. Kalo, the Costco ho in Los Angeles.
Free gum.
For the evening. Free gum. Yeah. Free gum. That's, you know where that came from? You know where that story originated?
You know, I have no idea. I went through listening to that so many times, and I have no idea what that was from.
It's when he was an ice cream man. He used to drive an ice cream truck, and they'd give away gum, and these kids would run up to the truck and go, free gum, free gum, free gum, and he'd have to give them free gum if he had it. I think he got bitter and stopped giving it to him.
Man, that really made him bitter.
Yeah, free gum. So tomorrow, did I already tell you who was on? God, I think I've covered everything.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. We got Gene Tierney. We'll be on the show tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Yeah, great actor.
Good night, sheeple. It is a crime.